How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, I always love talking about sports in different ways. And our next guest is a fantastic example of that. He is known as the Sports Tax Man, at Sports Tax Man on Twitter. Robert Raiola is a CPA who has been on this show a number of times. He has co-authored a book called Winning Tax Strategies for Athletes and Entertainers. He's a contributor at Sports Illustrated and a man of the world. Robert Raiola joining us now on a Thanksgiving week. How are you?
Good, John. Thanks for having me on 750 The Game.
I appreciate you. Blake Snell signs with the Dodgers. One of my first thoughts was, I wonder what Robert Raiola thinks of this. big deal. 5 years, $182 million.
Correct.
He goes to the Dodgers. But you have kind of a different take on this, a different angle on this. What's smart about the way he structured the deal?
I think Scott Boras deserves some credit because Snell is a resident of Washington State, so there's no income tax there. And by getting a $52 million signing bonus, he doesn't pay any California tax. And assuming the $65 million of deferred money is when he's done playing, he won't pay any California tax on that either. So he could potentially save $17 million. So very smart move by Boras.
How tuned in have agents become to these kinds of moves? Is this a more recent phenomenon, or when did you start seeing this?
It's more recent, and some of the agents don't choose to look at it. I always say it's not only about the best gross deal, but it's also about the best net deal. I mean, in baseball and in hockey, you can use this language. It doesn't work in football, but it's a win-win for Snell.
We're talking to Robert Raiola, the Sports Tax Man. You know, when we look at Shohei Ohtani's deal, a lot of that compensation was deferred. I wondered if there was a tax advantage there. Do you see that, or is that just more of Ohtani just trying to help the Dodgers out by not having money on the books up front?
Under current law, California doesn't tax the deferred money, assuming he's not playing for the Dodgers anymore, and he's taking the money once his contract is done. So he saves a ton of money. Mm. But California heard some whispers after the contract was signed that they may choose to readdress that law.
Yeah, they're not doing it for somebody deferring $50,000 in compensation. But when you see a guy who starts to go in, and you, as a business, any business worth a damn would look at that and go, wait a minute, are we missing out on $100 million here in potential taxes?
Yep.
In the NIL space, anything new developing? Because I know that you and I had talked when NIL first started about athletes and the concern maybe that athletes were not thinking about taxes at all. What have you heard in the last 6 or 12 months on the NIL front?
The issue is the NIL athletes, the student athletes, are getting paid with no tax coming out of their checks. And a lot of them don't realize they're going to have to pay income tax, you know, should be quarterly, but it all, you know, you have to pay the piper all by April 15th. And I don't see a lot of these guys really in tune with that. You can also set up a pension plan for them that you can shelter $69,000 of income. And I'm seeing guys, freshmen, sophomore in college, getting $700,000. And these guys might be one and done, playing in college for 1 year and then moving on to the pros.
When, you know, a school pays an athlete an NIL package, you know, the idea that the athletes sometimes live out of state and yet their school is in a specific state, will they be subject to state income tax? You know, for example, resident in Oregon, if you lived in Oregon full time and you earned in Oregon, you certainly would pay an income tax in the state of Oregon. But, you know, an athlete who may live in Texas and, you know, then goes to school in Oregon during the school year, can they, or Florida, or a state that has, you know, more lenient, lower tax rate, could you claim residence in another state and be a student at the same time?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, John. The student athlete would have to pay tax in Oregon in that, you know, situation. And the Oregon top rate is 9.9%, which is up there in the top five of all different states. It could be worse, though. You could be in California, where the top rate is now 14.4%.
Wow. NBA athletes who visit town. This one comes up all the time. You know, the athletes who are circling through Portland playing one of their 82 games in the state of Oregon, are they filing state income tax for every game that they play in that state, or how does that work?
Yes, it's done by duty days. Any day of practice, team meetings or whatever it is, they take the duty days, the numerator, which the days worked in that particular state, and the denominator is the total days worked for the year. So there are a lot of states. The average NBA player is probably filing in 15 jurisdictions, including state and local.
So Steph Curry is filing a state and local tax return in Oregon, as in addition to maybe his California state return.
Correct. And he's also filing in New York, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, a lot of different places. But what happens with Curry's situation, he would get a credit for all the other taxes paid to California and reduces California tax. And in his case, it's a full credit because the California rate is higher than everybody else, so they'll accept the credits. Like, you know, Pennsylvania is 3%. So he would get a full credit of that 3% against his California liability.
Sports tax man Robert Raiola is our guest, CPA and author. You know, you never like to see family members at odds. I saw the story this week where Baker Mayfield and his wife are suing a company that was tied to his father and his brother, says there's a missing $12 million. I thought of you, and I thought, gosh, like, you know, how careful do you have to be with a tax advisor, a financial advisor, an investment advisor? What do you see in that space? And are athletes becoming more sophisticated as some of these schemes and lawsuits have been uncovered over the years?
You should have an attorney, and you obviously should have an accountant and a financial advisor. In his case, I guess the dad may have had power of attorney, whatever he did, or fraudulently signed documents for his son. And, you know, it's absolutely a terrible situation. And Baker had a lawsuit against them, and he was awarded a certain money that they would have to begin to pay. And, of course, they were not able to come up with that money. So it'll be an interesting one to follow what goes along. I think you'll see a lot of times, John, where the parents will go on payroll. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that as long as it's not outlandish, because you're building up the parents' Social Security, you know, for later on down the road, and you're also taking tax, treating as an employee, you're also taking tax out, and maybe even a pension plan, so you're setting them up. But it's not unlimited. And once you put them on payroll, it's very difficult to take them off.
NBA Cup games, the players on the winning team in the NBA Cup championship will get $500,000 each. It's nice walking around money. how will that work when you have like an in-season tournament? Will they be taxed for games they play in a certain state, or because it's a lump sum at the end, does it go to their own state income tax? How does that work?
I think it would go, obviously, to the state they're resident of. If you're a resident of New York State, all the income you earn in the states and overseas would be subject to tax in New York. And I would think that the cup money would be no different than that and would be allocated on, you know, formula for the days worked in the particular state over the total days worked.
I am looking at, you know, Michigan had a big recruit, got, you know, may have got up to $12 million. You know, this is an athlete that will obviously pay federal income tax and state tax, you know, on a $12 million NIL deal, or does that depend? Is the money paid up front? Is it paid quarterly? If you were advising an athlete, how would you tell a recruit to approach that process?
I would tell him that if you take $12 million up front, even though you have the time value of money, you're going to wind up paying more tax than if you took maybe $10 million up front and $2 million deferred. Because at least that way, John, you're filling up all the lower tax brackets. Once you get above a certain amount, you're paying 37% anyway, but at least you fill up those lower tax brackets in the second year. And it also is not the worst thing for the athlete not to see the money right away.
Yeah, amen to that. Like, I don't need you to name names, but you've obviously seen some nightmare scenarios. Can you give us some examples without outing who the individuals are where you've seen just rampant mismanagement?
Yes. I had a situation where I had a mom go out and buy a whole bunch of properties and use the son's income and his savings to go ahead and do this. And the son wasn't aware of it. It's still going on. So we'll see how it breaks out.
Ouch. Bad situation there. I just think from a free agency standpoint, if you're, you know, let's just talk about California versus Texas. You know, how does a team in California combat a team in Texas if you're talking about, you know, no state tax in Texas and 14.4% in California?
Two words, John, signing bonus, okay? If you have a Texas resident in baseball and he signs with the Dodgers, the Angels, or the Giants, he gets a signing bonus. If the right language is in the contract, he does not pay California tax on a bonus. So you may see, I don't know where, I haven't looked at Soto's situation yet, but you may see that he's a resident of a non-taxing jurisdiction. So if that's true, he'll load up on the signing bonus. And he may, Boro said no deferred money, but he may have to take deferred money once you get to that level.
Now, the NFL's talking about playing extra games overseas, London, Spain, Brazil, Mexico City, Germany, Ireland. How does that work? If you're playing a game overseas, are you now exempt from paying tax on those games, or how does the NFL plan to pay players who are taking part in games that aren't in the country?
Sure. I don't think there'll ever be a team in London because the top tax rate over there is 45%, and in the U.S. our top tax rate is 37%. So I don't think you're going to see these players paying an extra 8% on all their games. What they do, they go over there for, you know, say 4 or 5 days, and again, you take a fraction, and the team usually withholds some foreign tax, and you get a credit in the U.S. But again, if like in the U.K., it's 45%, you can only get a credit back for 37%. So it's costing you extra money to play in the U.K.
Now, I was in the locker room one time, Blazers locker room, and Joel Prisbilla was explaining to one of the rookies on the team that the NBA's got a 401k plan that has 100% match. And he was saying, you are absolutely dumb if you don't put it, you know, you fully need to fund your 401k. Even though for an NBA player, it looks like chump change, the league matches it 100%. What I have also heard about a possible escrow that the NBA withholds. What do you know about that? What does the NBA do with player salaries?
It's very interesting. They have to, pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, known as the CBA, they have to share with the players a certain amount of the, you know, revenue that's taken in. So what they do, and this is hard to believe, but it happens this way, they take out 10% tax on a player's paychecks, and they take it only out during the season. So as unusual as this may sound, the NBA players get paid more in the offseason than they do in the season because they don't take out escrow when the season's over. And then what they do is they usually wind up figuring it out. They have their accountants come in to figure it out, and the NBA players almost always get the whole 10% back.
Fascinating. Joel Embiid, let's just say he's fined $1 million, which is about what his three-game suspension came up to. Does he get to write off a suspension? Does he get to write that off as, you know, hey, that's an expense in my career? Or is the $1 million just out of his pocket?
It's just out of his pocket. I mean, it's just wages that he doesn't get. They would hold it out of his check, and he wouldn't get it, so he wouldn't have to pay tax on it. John, it used to be the law before Trump changed it way back 5-6 years ago, that if you had a fine, not a suspension, but a fine, that you would be able to deduct that. And in that case, for every $100,000 of fine that you got, you'd save about $37,000 of tax. Mm. But they did away with that. And athletes can't deduct the agent fee on the main contract, conditioning course, cell phone, all the stuff like that. They can't deduct that. So, you know, like you say, it's chump change to Embiid, but $1 million is $1 million.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I appreciate your time. I could pepper you all day. I want you to have a great Thanksgiving, Robert Raiola. Follow him on Twitter, at Sports Tax Man, and he is the sports tax guy, and he joins us occasionally, but at Sports Tax Man, Robert Raiola, thank you.
Thanks, John. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. There he goes. Man, I could pepper him all day, Stephen, with just, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what can he do this? But it becomes evident, like, the Dodgers are playing next-level chess when they're doing these contracts with Ohtani and doing the deal that they just did. And, you know, they're saving the players money. They're able to get more money in the end to their players. And it's disheartening on one hand, but, you know, why aren't other teams doing it, for crying out loud? I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.